All I'm saying is these feelings are real. Can we agree with that? These feelings are real. But you have to take your life's experiences, like these real true feelings. Now that you're a Christian, you have to take these feelings and shine them against the light of Jesus's word. And I'm just telling you this, God can take the most horrible situation. If we will trust him, trust in his word, try to work through those things. And I'm not saying it's easy. But I'm telling you what, God can change a hardened heart.
Welcome to Grace Community Church On Demand, the weekly podcast from the Sunday services at Grace Community Church in Rupert, Idaho. Here at Grace, we believe in building the kingdom of God one person at a time. We're passionate about loving God, loving people, and following Jesus. Let's get into this week's message with Pastor Travis Turner.
I'm very excited about today and the service today. We're bringing to a close this series. So Jesus culture, what this is about, it's really about looking at the some of the dominant themes in Jesus's life and recognizing that those things are still relevant for us today. Somebody say relevant. I kind of stole this background off of the internet and I just X'd out the pop culture, because pop culture or culture, it changes. Like one year something might be in style and the next year it's completely outdated. If you're here for the first time, basically this whole series is free to you. I would highly encourage you to go out and check it out. I really do believe it's one of those that can change your life. But it's looking at the life of Jesus. And if you're a Christian, you need not to look any further than Jesus Christ and how it is that he lived. Come on, how he lived and what he spoke about and the message that he taught, over 2,000 years ago is just as powerful for us today. And so I encourage you to look at his life. If you've got a question about what it means to be a Christian, look at Jesus's life. And you'll find your answer. And so today, what I want to do is I want to talk about diversity. It's up on the screen behind me. I want you to know this, that diversity is a core value of Grace Church. In fact, if you go through that growth track, you're going to find that it's one of our key core values here. Can I just tell you this, that diversity, like if you're gonna have a diverse church, or if you want diversity to be in your business, you have to be intentional. Somebody say intentional. You see, diversity doesn't happen naturally. What happens naturally is for us to gather up with people that are just like ourselves. But to be diverse, you really have to work at it. Sunday mornings is still, at about 11 o'clock in the morning on every Sunday, it's still one of the most divided times in the United States of America. Come on, you've got black church, you've got white church, you've got Spanish church, you've got yellow church, blue church, gray church, green church, right? Even in this community, I'm not an expert on this by any means, but even in our community, and I can understand it if it's just a language barrier. But if it's not a language barrier, I don't understand it. Just because I don't understand it doesn't mean that it's right. But in our area, we still have Spanish church. If it doesn't deal with language, I think that works against what God is trying to do in the church, because I think God is for diversity. But you're not going to get diversity unless you're intentional about it. So we've got all these, we've got old church, we've got young church. Do you know this? That there are churches that, like, if you're going to, like, I've been to some churches and somebody has told me, hey, I'm part of the youth. And I'm like, you're 61 years old. You're a part of the youth group around here. And so there are churches that, like, You're not going to find very many people under the age of 50, but then there's also churches out there that are very intentional about serving younger people. Like if you're 40 years old and you show up, you're going to really stick out because it's geared towards the young people. So you've got old church, young church, you've got new churches, old churches, boy churches, girl churches, loud church, quiet church, cowboy church. That's our resident cowboy from the back. But loud church, quiet. Don't you realize that even today, people are fighting for reasons not to get together with other people? And music can sometimes be the very thing that separates. It's like, you know what? They play too much of that new stuff. Or the young people are like, they don't play enough of that new stuff. You know, the decibel level is too high, or it's not loud enough. And so what we do is we find points of division, and guess what we do? We divide. We begin to separate and segregate, and we begin to divide. And so you've got rich church and you've got poor church. Don't you know that you can travel around the United States of America and you can step into a place, and some places you'll know in a moment that you either belong or you don't belong because of how much money you make each year. So if you're wealthy and you step into a place where it's like there's not a lot of money, you're going to feel maybe a little bit out of place. And if you're poor and you step into a place and you can, you know, tell that there's just BMWs and Lexus and all those things in the parking lot, you might feel a little uncomfortable. But there are definitely churches that are focused on the rich, and there are churches that are focused on the poor. And I just love that we're a church that we've got just a little bit of everybody. Yeah. Amen. But can I tell you that in order to get that, you have to be intentional. And then you've got fun church and you've got boring church, and I'm not going to say anything else about that. I think you ought to have fun when you're at church. And so that being said, you know, Sunday morning can be one of the most divided times of the whole week. Christianity is also one of the most diverse groups in all of history. If you go into any culture and most nations come on around the world, you're going to find Christians. You're going to find believers. And you know what the cool thing about it is? And this is why I highly encourage you, and we're getting ready to ramp up our missions again. In fact, this year we're going to go to the Dominican Republic. And if you want to go, all you got to do is just come talk to me and we're going to go. But this is the deal is that if you go to, it doesn't matter if you go to Uganda, it doesn't matter if you go to Nicaragua, it doesn't matter if you go to the DR, if you go to the Congo, if you go to the Philippines, if you go, you're going to find that you have brothers and sisters in the Lord that are just like you, that love God just like you, and you might not even be able to communicate because the language is so different. But there's going to be a connection. There's going to be a drawing close to, and that's all around the world. And so I absolutely love that Christians are in every culture pretty much around the world. And so today, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about racial diversity. We're going to talk about racial diversity. Now, somebody say grace.
Grace.
Somebody say grace.
Grace.
Somebody say God's grace. Somebody say, give pastor some grace. Because there's no possible way that I can touch this large of a topic in 30 to 50 minutes. I should have said an hour and a half. And do anything more than just scratch the surface. And so I need your grace. And I'm not going to be able to cover a lot, but I do believe that what we do cover will open our eyes, come on to God's heart whenever it comes to racial diversity. I want to open up just by saying that Jesus, he came for every single person. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He came for everybody, every tribe, every tongue, every color, every nation. Somebody might say, well, wasn't he Jewish? Yes, he was Jewish, but Jesus spent a large portion of his life crossing racial barriers. I mean, he was the one that was sitting at a well with a woman that he shouldn't have been talking to. And he knew that, man, if people see me, that they're going to cast judgment and they might say things and drag my name through the mud, but he did it anyways. Come on, Jesus was ministering to a Roman centurion, and actually a great miracle came because he said, in all of Israel, I've not seen a greater faith. He could have just, listen, if he didn't cross over those barriers, he could have just minded his own business. You understand what I'm saying? And so So he was crossing over often, the Samaritan woman, the centurion soldier, he crossed over. Another instance of us seeing that God loves diversity is found in Genesis chapter 10. This is the story of Noah's three sons. And if you'll study this out, the original 70 nations come from these three sons. You've got Shem, which is the father of the Asian nations. You've got Ham, which is the father of the African nations. And then you've got Jephthah, which is the father of basically the European nations. And so from these three, you've got all of these nations. And then you're growing up who remembers some of the songs in Sunday school, right? There's one song that comes to my mind always. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. You know the words. We are precious in his sight. Okay, let's sing it all together. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. We are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children. We could take that on the road and make some money. I'm just telling you, that's got some gifted and talented people. But do you know this? You can go through Sunday school and you can learn the songs, but as soon as you leave the Sunday school class, all dependent on the circle that you're running in or that you share life with, you can see actions that are very different than what you just learned about in church. And sometimes it doesn't take you any further than getting home with some of the same people that you went to church with. Come on, this is a heavy topic, and this is why I'm asking you to give me just a little bit of grace, because we need some healing. This is what I can tell you. I think the church should be like the head of the spear in addressing some of these major issues that we find in our world today. We don't need somebody to legislate it, you know, and pass down a law before we start making some decisions. How many believe that the church, come on, can lead the way in breaking down racial issues? I believe that. I absolutely believe that. The house of God, you need to know, was built for every single person. In Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 7, it says this, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all of the nations." Now listen, when it says nations, it's not talking about like physical borders and boundaries and shorelines and these types of things. The word nations is the word ethnos, which means people groups. It means people group. So my house shall be called a house of prayer for every single people group. And so this is why I'm even going back to a previous statement that I had made. So once again, I just really feel like the house of God should represent every single person that's reflected in the demographic of the community. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations or all the ethnos. He came for everyone. Somebody say, he came for everyone. So this is the way I look. I'm a very simple person. There's not much that goes beyond the simple in my mind. In our community, if we have 30, let's just say we have 30% Hispanic in our community, then my feeling is that the church should reflect the community. If there's 30% Hispanic in the community, then there should be 30% Hispanic in our church. And somebody would ask, well, how are we doing? I would say we're doing okay, but we've got a lot of ground to make up, right? Amen. We can always get better. Somebody say we can get better. I remember, and this is the truth, that we were in the old part of we were in the other sanctuary before we had moved in here, and I remember on a few Sunday mornings just looking out at the church, and I'm like, man, we need some more color. We need more color. And, you know, here I'm getting up, and I'm like, core value, diversity, and I get up, and I'm looking at a bunch of white people just staring back at me because they're just like me, right? You naturally draw who you are. And so I'm like, we need more color. And I said this, and when I said it, I was like, absolutely, yes, we need more black people in Rupert. I said, who's going to pray, come on with me, for more black people in Rupert? And some people started to pray, and then the Major family showed up. Come on, we had, and I'm telling you, if you haven't had the opportunity to get to know these boys and girls, you're missing out. Yeah. Because they are an incredible family, such a blessing to our church. These kids, they work in just about every department in this church. They're servants, and I'm so glad that God brought them, come on, to Grace Church. Yeah. Amen. So what do we need to pray for next? Somebody say intentional.
Intentional.
You have to be intentional. I want you to also know that racism is still a problem in our country and in our world. It's not something that it used to be a problem. It's still a problem today. It's a current issue. I do believe that there has been an intentional wedge that whoever the powers are be, I really feel like there's a focus in our world to divide. I feel like whenever it comes to race, I honestly believe we have gone backwards at least 10 years, maybe even further than that. Like, I think we were making some great headway, but there's been some intentional things that have been done to divide and separate over the last 4, 8, 10 years that has literally sent us back years and years and years of, you know, progress that we have made. We've gone backwards, but I still want you to know it's a problem. So the question is this: should the church have an answer for racism? Yes. And my next question is this: how are we doing with answering that? And just because I asked the question doesn't mean we're doing terrible or we're doing wrong. I think we're doing some things right, but I feel like there's a lot of room that we can make up. We can all get better. Somebody say amen. And can I just say this, just because it's on my mind? Like, somebody in here, you might think when I talk about racism, like maybe the white people are feeling like, oh no, he's talking about us, you know, because we're always blamed for the racism. But can I tell you this, that there was a time, and I'm just getting raw a little bit, and this is a little all over the place, but just bear with me, and please tell me you'll come back next week. promise me now. But there was a time, because of the color of your skin, that you wouldn't get a job. Can I just point something out to you? There's a time right now, because of the color of your skin, you don't get a job. And some of that is taking place with white people today. You might have somebody that's qualified for a position, but because there's a quota to meet, they'll get bypassed to give it. And so this is the world's answer. And the world's answer to racism is just do the same thing, but just do it against the people that were doing it wrong in the first place. And that's not the right answer, right? And so listen, when I talk about racism, I'm just recognizing that white people can be racist against, they can prejudge black people, Hispanics, Asians, and I'm also recognizing that black people can prejudge white people, and Hispanics and Asians and Indians and Hispanics can prejudge white people and black people. And so this is something that is an issue for every single one of us. And so it need not go any further than right here first. It's like, Lord, help me first to make sure, come on, that I'm loving people equally. Amen. So Hosea 4 and verse 6 says this: my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. There's one thing that we need to know if we're going to combat racism is, what is their view there? And there identifies anybody that is different than your view, anybody that's different than you. So what is their view? And so I've got my cell phone up here, and I'm just going to ask you, if I was to hold this up, what do you see?
Case.
You see a case, a phone, but I see something completely different. What I see is, I see a picture of my family on this phone. And so for you to be able, come on, to get my view, what you have to do is you've got to stand up and you've got to get out of your comfortable seat, and you've got to walk around to my side of the table, and then we can look at this thing together. And if I want to see what you're seeing, then what I need to do is I need to prop this up, get down off of this platform and come and sit with you and then begin to see what it is that you're seeing. See, the only way that this is going to really get handled appropriately is if we will humble ourselves and go see what other people are seeing. But this is the deal, is as many of us treat this like, well, it's not a problem for me, so therefore it's not a problem. And just because it might not affect you, it doesn't mean that it's not a problem. You know, that's like people that don't believe in Jesus right now. They're going to believe in Jesus one day because he's true. Right? My Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so somebody say movement. We have to make movement to the other side. What are they seeing? And can I just tell you this? It's dangerous to think that we know, but we really don't know. Like imagine this with me. If you were going up in an airplane, we were going to go skydiving today. Who would go? I think I would go. Like, I would go on a plane ride at least. You know, I would probably jump. I would probably do that. But okay, so we're going skydiving today, and you're like, listen, I've watched some YouTube videos, and I know how to pack a chute. At least I think I know how to pack a chute. You know what I mean? It's dangerous for you to think you know, but really you don't know. Like, you got it wrong. You know, I mean, that's life and death stuff. And there are people, because we only look through our own eyes and our own experiences, there are people, most of us, and I'm not talking about anybody beyond myself, there are people that believe that we know, but we don't know, and it's a very dangerous way to live. Amen. I would rather know than to think I know. So there's three tiers of racism. The first one that I'm going to share with you is probably the worst. It's not probably the worst. It is the worst. This is when you hate somebody for the color of their skin. You hate somebody because of the color of their skin. The second one is when you believe that one race is better than another. Can I just tell you this? That if you have that opinion, it's a wrong opinion and it offends God. Like, it absolutely goes against everything that God believes, that he says. Come on, he says that all of us are created in the image and the likeness of God. He says things like he's not a respecter of persons. No one is better than anybody else. But how many of you know that sometimes we can act like that? And the third one is this, is having prejudiced opinions about another race. The word prejudice, and I've been using this a lot, it simply just means to prejudge somebody as being something before you get the opportunity to know that person. Come on, and this is the other thing too, is we're all raised with parents that love us, and I'm going to start a sentence and you're going to finish it. This is how well I trust in this process. Your mom and dad told you once, never judge a book by its cover. So we hear all of the, Jesus loves a little child. Never judge a book by its cover. Come on and on and on and on. But then sometimes, even in your own home, you will see things that contradict what it is that you just learned at Sunday school, or what it is that mom and dad, you know, had shared. And I know this is touchy and sensitive, but just please hang with me. Amen? Because we're getting better. We're getting better. So to prejudge is to form an opinion about someone before you know them. So where does it come from? The first place that it can come from is your family. It can come from your family. This is typically something that is taught. Racism is something that is taught. I want you to know, as parents, the power that you have in your hands. You have the power to turn loving children into full-blown hateful racists. You have that power. And it comes through jokes, and it can come through slurs and jeers and actions. And sometimes you can even say a lot without saying anything, right? Just in how you act, or how you look at somebody or a group of somebodies can say a lot. Well, I didn't say anything, but your body language has said a great deal. There's nothing worse than seeing this on a missions trip. Once again, taking some folks that have never been on missions trips before. It's amazing, and they could be, you know, Hispanics and whites and black, a bunch of people all together. But it's funny how people from the United States of America will look down on other nations like we're superior. I'm telling you, I've seen it in the mission field, and this is the church being sent. So if there's a roundtable discussion, you know, people are like, hey, listen, what do you think about this? All the Americans are talking and not giving any room for the nationals of that country that know their people better than anybody in the whole room. But yet the Americans want to push their thoughts and their agenda. This is how come on, it can happen. We go in with this superior mentality just because of where it is that we call home and the nation that we come from. I can just tell you this, and this is the honest to God truth. There have been times where you know, I've gone to the Uganda about three times, and we do these pastors' conferences, and they bring in a bunch of pastors from you know, from different areas of Uganda. It's a big week-long deal, hundreds of people there, and we get up and we teach and preach and these kinds of things. But on the one-on-one conversations, I always leave that time thinking, we should just come and listen and learn instead of acting like we have like all of the answers. Because I'm telling you, some of these men that I have met and some of these women that I've been privileged to meet, when it comes to faith, I mean, they're living it. They're relying on God for things that we take for granted all the time. And I'm just saying that we could learn something. So if we get an opportunity to go on a mission trip, I'm just asking you, listen more than you speak, because I promise you, you will come home blessed if you listen more than you speak. So I've talked about some pretty edgy things, and the possibility of any of us or all of us recognizing some things in our lives like, oh my gosh, that's me. It's very possible that the Holy Spirit might be showing some things to you. And can I just say this, that when you're young and there are seeds that are planted in your life, it's not your fault. It's not your fault, but as you grow up and you become an adult, it is your responsibility to dig those roots. If there are racist roots, if there are prejudice, which we all can have them, let's just be honest, we can all have them. It's possible for us to form opinions that just are not fair. It is our responsibility as adults to deal with them. It's our responsibility individually to deal with them. Number two is this: it can come from culture. And I just want to go back to when we're 10, 12, 14 years of age. Like, if you really want to be in the in crowd, a lot of times that means belittling other people that aren't in the in crowd. And so culture can pull on our desire to belong. And oftentimes, if we want to belong, then it requires us to do and be something that is even against our own nature from time to time, but we'll do it because our desire is so strong. Does that make sense? Are you guys with me on that? I know this is a little all over the place, but please stick with me. In fact, if we were to go back here just to our nursery right now, you know, we've got some, let's just give it up for the people that are serving in the nursery right now. But can I just tell you, if there was a bunch of 2 and 3 year olds back there, I promise you, we could take the whole church back there right now, and there would be no separation. They would be sharing boogers and snot. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the color. And so I'm just sharing with you that once again, these things are learned. They're learned sometimes through the family. They're learned through culture. And then the third thing is many of these prejudices can come through bad experience. And I just want to speak to this just for a second. Being a Marine myself, I didn't serve in a combat situation where I had to pull the trigger on somebody. I'm grateful for that. Thank you, Jesus. But I also look at my brothers that served in Vietnam, a little older than I am, and I've had the chance to converse with some of these people. And the truth is people that have been thrust in these difficult situations, these life situations, these experiences, some of them come back with an underlying hatred of Asian people, Vietnamese people. So I'm given a little bit of a pass in that, you know, maybe they associated that with losing their best friend and seeing all the carnage and the chaos and just all of that. All I'm saying is these feelings are real. Can we agree with that? These feelings are real. But you have to take your life's experiences, like these real true feelings. Now that you're a Christian, you have to take these feelings and shine them against the light of Jesus's word. And I'm just telling you this, that God can take the most horrible situation, and if we will trust him and trust in his word and try to work through those things. And I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm telling you what, God can change a hardened heart. And we hear about stories all the time. This soldier from the United States reuniting with this soldier from, you know, Vietnam, they embrace with a hug and they share their families and they're sharing pictures. And come on, I believe that those kind of things show that there's a God more than many other things that we try to prove him through. And so while I can understand that these feelings are real, I know this, that God's word is even more real than any experience that we can. Are you guys with me? Are you guys okay? Okay. All right. So they come through bad experience. So what do I do? What do I do? This is a question. What do I do if I recognize racism in my own life? What do I do if I personally recognize racism in my own life? Number one is be honest about it. Just be honest about it. It's a great first step. Open it up to the Lord. Say, Lord, I really have, I you know what I mean? I love people, but it's easier for me to maybe love these people more than these people. But I think if you are honest and open it up to him, what you don't want to do is you don't want to justify it. You don't want to excuse it. It's like, you know what? I was just raised this way, and my dad was like this, and my dad's dad was like this, and my dad's dad was like this. But just open it up to him and be honest to the Lord. And then just pray prayers like, Lord, come clean me. God, help me wash this out of my life. How many of you know that nothing would please God more for us to trust him with strong feelings like that? Right. Strong feelings like that. Number two is be intentional. Be intentional. Cross the lines of comfort into the uncomfortable. Turn to your neighbor and say, let's cross over. Turn to your other neighbor and say, let's cross over. But be intentional. How do you do this? You can do this right in church. You can do this right. You know what? It would be as big as or as little as moving from this section over to this section and getting to know somebody different. I love Eddie and Margie Lopez. Last year, they did something. It didn't have anything to do with race. It just had to do with just wanting to meet people that they did not know. They come to church and they recognize, wow, there's a lot of people that we don't know in the church. And so they open up their home several times a year and they invite complete strangers from this church just to come over. And do you know this, that after a meal and they live on the river, maybe doing a little kayaking or swimming or just whatever it is that they do. Do you know that at the end of that time together, they're not strangers anymore? Right. Now they know one another. And I thought to myself, man, how cool is that? Get involved in a life group. Well, I'm not really interested in that. So what? Do something that you're, you know, that might not be on your priority list, but maybe it's on somebody else's, and get to know them that way. So be intentional. Is it uncomfortable? You better believe it. If you know Margie, you would just know that her opening up her home like she has, it's so outside of who she is. She likes everything but she's just like, and you know what? Her heart has changed since she's been doing it. She'll tell you herself. It's been incredible. Uncomfortable? You better believe it. Scary? You better believe it. But what else was uncomfortable and scary? I remember when I learned how to swim, that was uncomfortable and scary because my dad threw me over the boat, said, "You're going to learn to swim today." I started having children. I was getting ready to throw them, and my wife's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm teaching them how to swim." She was like, "No, they're swim lessons." I'm like, "What is that? You pay somebody money, they teach them how to swim." I'm like, "I'm going to start a business, swim lessons. Drop your kids off. Give me $50. Come back in an hour. They'll know how to swim. I'll throw them in the pool." I'm like, "You get paid for that?" I couldn't believe it, man. How many else you just got thrown in the water? That's you made it. It works, right? You're either going to learn or, well. Driving. How many of you were totally comfortable driving the first time that you got behind a wheel? You were? That's awesome. Okay. I just remember I was overthinking everything. 10 and 2, you know, blinker, you know, how many feet out? But guess what? You push past it. Hopefully you're driving today, right? Hopefully. If you're not sure where to start just by praying uncomfortable prayers. It's like, have you ever prayed a prayer and then you're like, "I don't know if I should have prayed that." You know, have you ever? That's a good place to start. Pray uncomfortable. I don't know. God answers prayers. Can I take it back? You know? And then the third thing is be careful with your heart. If you realize that you're struggling with some of these things, just be careful with your heart. The Bible says to guard your heart, for from it flows the issues of life. I want to encourage you, be careful what you laugh at. Be careful what you watch. Be careful the jokes that you say. Be careful of what you judge. If you begin to take the thoughts captive like the Bible says for us to do, then this is what I promise you is going to happen. Like if you take every thought captive, you're going to find that some of the things that you thought were funny in the past, well, they're just not funny any longer. It will happen because the Holy Spirit, if you invite God to heal that area of your life, right, he's going to do it and he'll do a tremendous work. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17 and verse 26, it says, "He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all of the faces of the earth." I'm going to read that again. He made from one man, somebody say one man, every nation of mankind to live on all of the face of the earth. How many of you know that we all come from one man? We might look different on the outside. Man, thank God for that. But the truth is that we're the same on the inside. Aren't you glad that whenever you go to the doctor, you don't, you know, you need a little extra blood. You don't have to go in there and say, "I need some black blood. Give me some white blood. I'm 75% brown. Give me some brown blood. Give me some yellow blood." No, it's A, B, O, A, B, A plus. Right? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where you came from. Doesn't matter the color of your skin. You just need the right blood. We tend to put others down that are different than we are. And I was just thinking about just this thought, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it this morning, but Stetson, who we just lost yesterday, he had some struggles that he dealt with. But can I tell you this, that he was so unique and he was so authentic and he was so passionate about people. I never saw that kid down. And if he was down, like if you could see it on his face that he just wasn't feeling good, when you talk to him, he would just perk right up and give you the biggest smile. And And Stetson would bring me notes up when he was when he'd come to church. He'd bring me a note up, and it would always say something like "Love you, Pastor Travis," or a picture, you know, maybe of the cross or something like this. And sometimes he would give like a dollar with the note, and I always like that. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying that this young man, 15-year-old kid, touched my life and touched so many other people's lives. And I'm just saying that we're enriched whenever we share life with people that are different than we are. Your life will be better. It'll be more valuable when you get outside and we get outside of what's normal. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. This is a picture of the future. It says this: "After I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation." Somebody say nation. "From all tribes." Somebody say tribes. "And peoples." Somebody say peoples. "And all languages." Somebody say languages. "We're standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes." This is going to be what worship is like in heaven. And it's always been my philosophy: if we're going to worship together in heaven, then why don't we get it figured out while we're here on the earth? Amen. You know what I mean? Why don't we cross boundaries and differences, and just understand that, you know what? Together we're better. You know, I was just thinking of that. I gave Jacob that word, and Jacob gave his son Joseph this coat of many colors, and I'm just thinking about this, that there are many people that are smarter than I am that just will use that as a thought on diversity. You know, so there was favor on this young man's life, and his dad didn't just give him a coat like all the other brothers' coat. It was handmade. It was probably expensive because of the different materials that it was made out of to give it those bright colors. It stood out. It spoke of his favor that was on his life. And I think it's interesting that he goes to a nation of people that are completely different than he is. And because of the wisdom that Joseph has, he's able to move with those people, and because of his trust and faith in the Lord, he's elevated. And I'm just saying this, that I honestly believe that it puts a smile on God's face. I believe it pleases God when people work at learning and sharing and doing life differently because of our love for people, for his creation. In fact, the last passage of scripture that I want to share with you deals with love. It's John 13 and verse 34. It says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." Somebody say, love one another. "Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So the thought here is that you know what impresses people that are not Christians? Like, do you know what impresses people that are unbelievers more than anything else? It's not your eloquent speech, your ability to explain the deep things of God. That, you know what impresses them more than anything else? Is that when they see you loving somebody that's not like you. When they see you, this is what he says: "They will know that you are my disciples when they begin to see how well you love each other."
That's it for today's teaching. Hey, here's an idea. Share today's message with a friend or family member. If you're listening from outside our fellowship, we'd love to meet you. Visit graceid.org and hit the contact form to get in touch. We'd also love for you to join us. Services are Sundays at 8:45 and 11 a.m., as well as our Wednesday evening service at 6:30 p.m. You can even check us out on Facebook Live by searching Facebook for Grace Church Rupert ID. Learn more and plug in at graceid.org. Thanks for listening to this week's message from Grace Community Church.